And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I'm going to have a good time on this program today, and I hope you will, too, because I'm going to talk about a subject that, well, some people just find objectionable. Some people are just very angry about this topic, and from my mail, a few of them are very, very angry at me, or with me. I mean, I'm getting some letters here that some people would just like to cut off my head entirely. And maybe throw it down a bowling hall lane toward rabid dogs so they could eat up my head. I don't know what they're thinking, but they're pretty angry at me because of, well, what I've been saying in my new book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. Subtitle, Eye-Opening Revelations and Forbidden Knowledge About Israel, the Jews, Zionism, and the Rothschilds. And, of course, I had a lot of people tell me that I should not dare to write such a book and publish it, that the hounds of hell would come after me. Well, I think the hounds have been at my, you know, dogging my footsteps and nipping at my heels for many, many years, so that's not anything new. In fact, I've sort of grown used to it. Doesn't bother me at all. You know, I live in the hill country of central Texas. We have a lot of rattlesnakes here. And if you go out in the fields at night, you know, out where they have the brushweed and all, probably behoove you to wear a pair of boots, because they got a lot of rattlesnakes out there. And I feel like I'm in a big field of rattlesnakes right now, with all kind of people saying that Tex Mars must be an anti-Semite. Now, when you say that word, just think of it. Let it sink in now. Anti-Semite. Oh, my. Oh, my. You know, the Bible talks that many people, you know, did nothing when Jesus was crucified for fear of the Jews. And after Jesus was crucified, many would not follow him, in other words, his teachings, the gospel of the kingdom, because they were fearful of the Jews. They feared the Jews. It's a shame that Pontius Pilate, I think, suffers eternal, condemnation, because he knew that Jesus was innocent. And yet he was so fearful of the Jews that he allowed the Jewish Sanhedrin and its leadership to take and crucify our Lord and Savior for fear of the Jews. Now, I want to talk today about anti-Semites, but I'd like to flash a little bit different light on it. You see, I want to discuss and examine anti-Semites whom I admire. Whom I admire. You may think that sounds strange, but there are many, many people who've been called anti-Semite who I think are pretty good people. I may not agree with them totally on everything they do, but from what I gather, as compared to their average contemporaries, they were pretty good people, men and women. But for whatever reason, and it can be small or big, they were called, and so many of them still are alive, and are called anti-Semites. Want to talk about a few of them and introduce a few of them to you. Of course, you're going to know most of the names. And maybe you're unaware that these people are called anti-Semite. Oh, they're haters. They're mean, cruel haters. Of course, you may say, well, they seem nice enough, like nice enough people, but you're wrong. The Jews say they're haters, and they must be anti-Semites, and they need to be dealt with severely, punished, condemned. I mean, it could be that according to the Jews, some Gentiles, some anti-Semites deserve to be murdered, put to death. Certainly they deserve to be put in prison cells for their crimes of anti-Semitism. You know, when Lenin and Trotsky and Stalin took power in Soviet Russia, of course, that was a communist revolution led by the Bolsheviks, who were all Jews practically. And the very first law that was passed by the communists was the anti-Semitism law. Isn't that interesting? Here we have a regime that went on to murder, to massacre, to set up gulag concentration camps, and to murder 66 million human beings. But they were such goody-goody two-shoes types that they passed a law forbidding anti-Semitism. If you told a Jewish joke, yep, penalty's death. If you said a harsh word to your neighbor, might not have anything to do with the fact that he was Jew, but the fact that he was Jew means he could go down and file a complaint and say, my neighbor is an anti-Semite, and they would come and take you away. You were lucky if you just got 10 years in the Siberian salt mines, because the law said you should be put to death for being an anti-Semite. Of course, many of the Jewish organizations, from the American Jewish Congress, the American Jewish Committee, to the B'nai B'rith, you know, the Anti-Defamation League, they'd like to see people put in prison too for what they think are or claim are hate crimes. And their definition is pretty large too, pretty wide. Why? For many Jewish groups, if you just criticize Israel or its foreign policy, well, that's enough to put you in prison. That's proof positive you're an anti-Semite. Can you imagine to write an entire book like I have? Large format, 432 pages, packed with all kind of factual historical information. I mean, I think the only thing that's deserving of a man that would write a book like that, like this Tex Mars character, has to be the guillotine. Bring back the guillotine. Cut off his head. Off with it. Well, they can't do that yet, can they? We still have freedom of speech for a little while longer, maybe. But, you know, they're already putting people in prisons in Australia, in New Zealand, in Austria, and, of course, in Germany. All those are supposed to be democratic countries, but if you question some of the things that the Jews have done, you'll be considered an anti-Semite hater. They'll say you defame the Jews and put you in prison. But you know, a lot of those people that have been put in prison for anti-Semitism, well, I admire them. I do. We're going to talk about that. In fact, we're going to look at some of the men and women who have been pilloried and branded as anti-Semites. Maybe you'll like them too. It's possible. I don't know. There's Martin Luther, Henry Ford, Charles Lindbergh, Thomas Edison, Old Hickory, Andrew Jackson, Richard Nixon, Spiro Agnew, World Chess Master Bobby Fischer, former President Jimmy Carter, columnist and presidential candidate Pat Buchanan, Congressman Ron Paul, his son Rand Paul, U.S. Senator from Kentucky. There's Bill Moyers, used to be the press spokesman for LBJ, Lyndon B. Johnson. Then he got him a show on PBS. Obviously an anti-Semite. Helen Thomas, of course, we know she is. And then, naturally, there's Tex Mars. I'm probably one of the biggest ones of them all. That's right, I confess. In fact, in my book, read my introduction, Confessions of an Anti-Semite. I am an anti-Semite. Now, again, as I explain in my book, it all depends. Some people say I'm not. My wife, Wanda, she says I'm not, but she must be wrong because there's so many other people saying that I am. But on the other hand, since I respect what Wanda says a lot more than them, then she could be right. Maybe I'm not, after all, an anti-Semite. But look at the things that I've done in my new book, the things that I've exposed about the Jews and Israel and the Rothschilds and Zionism. That must make me an anti-Semite. So I confess, I wrote those things. So I don't mind you going and telling your neighbors, oh, that Tex Mars, I'd never read his book because he's an anti-Semite. Of course, I would always say, well, why don't you read it for entertainment value? See what anti-Semites are saying. See how horribly wrong they must be. See how their historical facts must be mixed up and mixed in with horrible, heinous error. Yes, that's right. Read my book just so that you can scream at me at night. Lay in bed reading the book Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star by Tex Mars and say, oh, I hate this man. He's an anti-Semite. Ooh. Then take the book after you've read it. Make sure you read it all the way to the final page. Get you a big vat of some kind of a decomposing fluid. I don't know what it would be, but throw my book in it and just watch as it just dissolves. Or take it out and burn it. That's right. Get all your neighbors together. Get them all to buy my book and get their copies and then read excerpts from it to each other all the time, cursing and screaming in agony at the anti-Semite who would write such things, and then have a big bonfire and enjoy yourself by burning my book. I highly recommend it. If it would make you feel good, if it would relieve your symptoms of what's going on in the world caused by the Jews, the horrors of the world, I would like it, actually. Now, I'm not going to burn my copy. I like being an anti-Semite. Now, you would think that you have to be a hater to be an anti-Semite. You've got to hate an entire race of people. But I don't hate anybody. So there must be other ways to define it. Why don't we look at the men whom I, and women, whom I admire a lot, and maybe you can figure out exactly what there is about these monstrous, evil, brutal, callous, shallow, stupid, redneck. You know, I could go on and on with all the adjectives. All of them must be those things. I'd like to hear from you. Tell me, say, Tex, let me explain to you what being an anti-Semite is. And maybe name 10 of these people and tell me why you're convinced that the Jews are right and they are anti-Semites. I'd like to know. I've been trying to figure it out myself, exactly what is an anti-Semite. I'd like to have a definition. I know what Webster says, but I know what Abe Foxman would say, or this rabbi or that rabbi. Now, while we're in the hate department, I'd like to first start off, before we look at these anti-Semites, and my blood is just boiling thinking about them. How about yours, Jerry? I'm just angry at these anti-Semites. How dare they foul up our whole world by hating somebody? Well, I don't know. Let me change that. By being anti-Semites, I don't think they really hate anybody, but they are anti-Semites. They must be. They've been called that by Jewish groups, even Gentile groups who love Jews, and they're just dripping in love for Jews. You know, the Christian evangelicals, John Hagee and so forth. They would be calling these people anti-Semites. So we really want to look at them. I'd like to put them on the microscope. Just take them, rip their clothes off, throw them on top of some giant microscope, and let's analyze, what are these anti-Semites all about? But first, let's look at some Jews who themselves have said some strange things. And I want to know, are these people racist? Or is it okay if you're a Jew to say these things? Because I've heard, friends. Now, see, I know I'm naive, and I'm very simple. For example, if you cursed out a white man, and you're black, and you said, you white honky, you have no reason to live, would you be a hater? I've been told no. Blacks who say terrible things about whites, it's okay. They're not haters. They're just, you know, they're just being normal blacks, and they should do those things because, I mean, every white person in the world is guilty of being a racist. And you and I both know that O.J. Simpson, they were just out to get that man. He was a great man. He didn't deserve to go to prison. Of course, he's in prison now on another charge. That's probably because of haters, white haters. There's no doubt about it. White devils did that to him. We all know about white devils. And yes, dear friends, I confess I am also a white devil. It's terrible. But if you call a white man names, is it okay if you're black? Because I do know what happens when you're a white man and you call a black man bad names. Or a black woman. You could go to prison. And if there's any kind of violence involved, let's say you get into an altercation and you're fighting each other, you know, fisticuffs, and you hit a black man and call him the nigger word, let's say, you might end up in prison for 15 years for federal offense. Now, if he called you a white honky and slapped you upside the mouth, I suspect they'd probably give him a $500 reward and send him home. I don't know what they would do to the black man, but basically nothing. Because that's okay. Only white people are haters and racist. You and I know that. Now, Jews are never haters. They're the race that's been spit upon, hated, reviled. Look at the Holocaust alone. That gives them all the credit. They have a race card for the rest of their lives because of the Holocaust. You know, Professor Goldwin Smith is a Jew. He's professor of modern history at Oxford University in England. Here's what he wrote recently. And you know, I think the man deserves to be given some kind of reward for this. Every Jew who says things like this, well, we've got to overlook it because, I mean, they have really been put upon for so long. But he said this, he said, we Jews regard our race as superior to all humanity, and we look forward to triumph over the inferior races. The Jews are a superior race, and we look forward to triumphing over the inferior races. That's what Professor Goldwin Smith says. Now, that could not be racist. And friend, if you're thinking that that's a racist statement, it's only because you probably are anti-Semite. Now, here's another one. Rabbi Yaakov Perin was quoted in the New York Times, February 28, 1994, on page one, in fact, as saying, quote, 1 million Arabs are not worth a single Jewish fingernail. 1 million Arabs are not worth a single Jewish fingernail, said Rabbi Perin. Now, I suspect that you probably are thinking that he's a racist, but you would be wrong because he's a Jew, and Jews cannot be racist. Now, Moshe Katsav, president of Israel, was quoted in the Jerusalem Post, May 10, 2001, as saying this. He said, there is a huge gap between us, Jews, and our enemies. They do not belong to our continent, our world, but actually they belong to a different galaxy. Absolutely, Mr. President, you're absolutely right. And you're not a racist for saying that. You're just acknowledging what's true. You Jews are the only people on this planet. Anyone else is so inferior, they're like insects from another galaxy. You're right, of course. Menachem Begin, Prime Minister of Israel, back in 1982, said this. He said of the Palestinians, he said, the Palestinians are beasts walking on two legs. Obviously, everybody would admit that. Now, dear radio friend, you're probably thinking Menachem Begin could possibly be a racist, but you would be wrong because Jews have an eternal race card that they can produce and say such things and get away with it. Rabbi Emanuel Rabinovich said something interesting. The good rabbi said, our race, the Jewish race, will take its rightful place in the world with every Jew a king and every Gentile a slave. Of course, that only makes good sense. Rabbi Emanuel Rabinovich should be complimented for his common sense and wisdom and his spiritual taste and highfalutin good sense. Don't you think so? Oh, yes, I do. Well, we leave the Jews to go to a person who really is, according to the Jewish standard, a bad, bad man. I'm going to just call this man the leader of the anti-Semites, whom I most admire. This particular gentleman had to be truly evil because of the things that he said about the Jews. In fact, to their face, he said this, "You are of your father, the devil." Now that was an anti-Semite. How could you, Jesus? How could you say such a thing? This same gentleman, now I must admit, to show you what an anti-Semite I am, I think he's more than a gentleman. I think he's God. I think he died for our sins. And I must say, I do love this man. He came as human flesh, clothed in human flesh, but he's more than a man. He sits on the throne in heaven. I believe this man is a heavenly Lord and Savior. But isn't it strange that in Matthew 23, verse 35, Jesus declared that the unrepentant Jews and Jerusalem and the house of Israel are, quote, guilty of all the righteous blood ever shed on planet Earth? He put a blood taint, a blood curse on all the Jews, the whole house of Israel. He even told the house of Israel, your house, the house of Israel, is left desolate. Jesus, you were such an anti-Semite. Wow. John wrote about this same nation. He called it Mystery Babylon. In Revelation 18, verse 24, he says, and in her, that's in the city of Jerusalem, that's in the nation of Israel. He said, and in her was found the blood of the prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. He called the Jews mass killers. The Apostle John did. I'm going to make him number two on the list of anti-Semites whom I most admire. Now, it's easy to get on a list. These are sort of extremists. They're extremists. They really are. They're way out. Jesus, John, and people like that. I'd like to introduce you to some people that are not quite as extreme as Jesus and John. For example, Thomas Edison. A simple inventor. I say simple. My goodness, what all did he not invent? The motion picture industry. Well, he invented that. The recording industry, that was him too. He and Nikola Tesla were sort of jointly responsible for electricity around the world that we have today. Thank them for the bright lights at night. Of course, I guess we should thank God for the bright lights up in the heavens, but right here on Earth, the incandescent electric bulb and all that, well, let's thank Thomas Edison. Now, you'd think that people would appreciate what Thomas Edison did, but for us. By the way, is it true? I think that he also invented wax paper. His wife would give him, you know, a sandwich for lunch, take it to his laboratory. And he would get so busy sometimes he'd work for 2 or 3 days. And, you know, the sandwich, you know, the bread would get hard and everything, and because she'd wrap it in, you know, like newspaper. So he was a very brilliant guy. So he told his wife, here, use this. It was wax paper. You know, start wrapping my food, my sandwiches in this. And she did, and it lasted a lot longer. Wax paper. Give Thomas Edison credit for that. But the man was a vicious anti-Semite, some Jewish groups claim. Now, there was, we'll just sort of go back and forth between all these people, because there's so many anti-Semites that I admire. Samuel Morse, you know, he invented the telegraph. That was before the days of Western Union. He was the inventor of the telegraph, the telegram. Do you know what the famous line was for the first telegraph ever sent? What hath God wrought? Gave credit to God. You know, he was a religious man. He was a Christian. And he talked about the Jews and how evil the Jews were. He was an anti-Semite. Oh, there's a lot of anti-Semites among these inventors. Let's see some more. You know, let's just come to modern history. Ron Paul, Congressman Ron Paul, and Rand Paul, his son. They recently stated that they believe we need to stop fighting these wars in the Middle East against Iraq and Afghanistan and Yemen and Pakistan and so forth. And Libya goes on and on, doesn't it? Well, a man named Mark Levine, who is beloved on the Sean Hannity show and all these other shows, he's a Jew, he came out and said they're vicious anti-Semites for opposing these unconstitutional wars. Isn't that odd that Mark Levine would say that? Well, the reason why, as you and I know, is these wars are being fought for greater Israel. They're not being fought for America. Now, we supposedly went into Iraq to get rid of Saddam. Well, they hung him. He's gone. But, you know, we're still there. And we went into Afghanistan to search for, hunt, and get rid of Osama bin Laden. And you know what? We got him, they say. Shot the old boy. So we don't have any reason for being there. But wait, we still have 100,000 troops there. Now, it seems that the Pauls, father and son, thought that wasn't a good idea. In fact, they're also against foreign aid to other nations. They think with the joblessness we've got here and the horrible financial and recession a crisis we've got going on in America, that we ought to spend our money at home. Obviously, that makes them anti-Semites, because the number one nation getting foreign aid is Israel. Ron Paul, you mean old unredeemed anti-Semite. How dare you and your son? Well, Mel Gibson, you know, the actor and director, he was a very, very evil man. Now, you know, his personal life is pretty scarred recently with a vicious language and, threats against his girlfriend or whatever he did. I mean, I don't want to get into all that. But that's not why they call him an anti-Semite. It was because he did the movie Passion of Christ, which stuck fairly close to the Bible account of Jesus. Well, the Jews didn't like that, because when you read the Bible account, we find that the Jews are indicted for killing Christ, which is true. Jesus himself prophesied the Jews would kill him. The first Christian martyr, Stephen, told the Jews to their face on the streets of Jerusalem, he said, "You have killed the just one, Jesus Christ." Well, you know, that's just not something the Jews want to admit. So, boy, a spewing of hatred and invective went against Mel Gibson because of his movie. Mel Gibson was called a horrible, vicious anti-Semite. Now, when we return a little bit, I want to talk to you about more of these people. Winston Churchill, Harry Truman, the Civil War winning general, USS Grant, Marlon Brando, the actor, Dolly Parton, the singer, Michael Jackson, the singer, Martin Luther, the great reformer, Bobby Fischer, the grand chess master. I've got a whole slew of anti-Semites to discuss with you. The world is reeking with them. They're everywhere you turn. They're behind every cactus bush. Even if you don't live in Arizona, Nevada, where there's cactus, there's probably one in your state behind an oak tree or a cottonwood or something like that. Okay, you're listening to Power of Prophecy. This is Tex Mars. We're looking at anti-Semites, whom I deeply adore. Well, not adore, but admire, maybe, when we return. Well, hello, good friends. Tex Mars again. In my book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, I actually introduce you to quite a few anti-Semites. You'll find out what Billy Graham and Richard Nixon talked about. Now, Nixon, or Graham at least, thought it was in the private confines of the Oval Office when he told Nixon that there was a group called the Synagogue of Satan. And he said that's what the Bible talks about, the Synagogue of Satan. And Billy Graham said that the Jews were such a threat to America that they had a stranglehold on this country. Then, of course, there was Vice President Spiro Agnew, who said that the Jews dominate the media. And, of course, the media attacked him, and he was finally pushed out of office. There's so much in this book. Harry Truman, he was a kiss-up to the Jews, but then he turned against them after he retired from office. You'll read about that in my book. Bobby Fischer, the world chess master, he said the Jews control the United States and they're the most evil people in the world. They said Bobby Fischer was the most intelligent man in the world. Did he know something that most Americans don't know? Of course, Martin Luther wrote an entire little book entitled The Jews and Their Lies. Could he have been an anti-Semite? Discover by ordering my new book, Conspiracy of the 610 Store, exactly what Martin Luther said and why he said it. Was he an anti-Semite? Discover. Of course, there was Karl Marx. He was Jewish. But interestingly enough, he said the Jews have a God and his name is money. Wow. The Jews' God is money. But then he came out and said, and that's why they are emancipated. They have been set free from the true God because they worship the God of money. Isn't that fascinating? That's what he said. So much here. So much here. And you'll also read about Jews that attacked the New Testament. Abe Voxman. And then there's the Jewish advisor. The rabbi who was the advisor to Michael Jackson, he attacked the New Testament. But then the New Testament's been attacked by thousands of Jewish rabbis for centuries, and it still survives stronger than ever. Helen Thomas, of course, was a correspondent at the White House, but then she said some truthful things about Jews, and the next thing you know, she's out of a job. So much to discover. In the book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. Now, the book is normally $30 at the bookstores, actually $29.95, but we want to offer it to you through the ministry here for $25, a $5 savings. But then again, we need $5 for shipping and handling. A total of $30, and we'll send you this book. Now, if we don't have enough copies, we're going to get some more printed here real soon. But I believe you've got enough in to take care of you. As for the book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, send $30 cash or check or money order. And, of course, you can use your credit card number, Discover and MasterCard and Visa. Now, you can get to us and order this book on our website, powerofprophecy.com. By the way, this radio program is also broadcast 24/7, that means 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, on powerofprophecy.com. And we're also on Worldwide Christian Radio and the American Voice Network. Again, the name of the book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. You know, interestingly, it's on the bestsellers list now at Amazon.com. The subject of controversial knowledge and also conspiracy theories. It's sort of interesting. The other day, I was like sixth or seventh on the bestseller list at Amazon.com. I'm surprised that they haven't cut it off. At any moment, they can suddenly say, we've decided not to sell your book anymore because, after all, Mr. Mars, you are an anti-Semite. But until then, you might be able to get the book, who knows, through Barnes & Noble or Amazon.com. But certainly you can get it from this ministry, and then you'll be helping us out. Now, I want to tell you once again, and this is true, you can check our financial records. I receive no royalties on this book as author. And every cent that you give, then after we pay all our bills, goes into this Christian ministry, and we're able to continue sending the truth around the world, thanks to your wonderful help. And it's not only your help by ordering our books, tapes, videos, and the love gifts and offerings that you so freely give us. But I'm convinced we're still in business. We're still here because of your prayers. The prayers of the saints avail over the evildoers of this world. Please pray for us, would you? And if you have a prayer need, would you let us know of it? We'll pray for you. It's our privilege to do so. It's an honor to pray for a fellow saint. Now let's return to our regular program. Jerry's signaling me over there. One of those hand signs, is that one of those secret society signs? No, it's the telephone. Oh, it's the telephone. Oh, it's call. Oh, yes. No, it's not a secret society sign. Jerry's over there giving a hand sign that means call us. He's saying, text you, forgot to tell folks to call us. Well, that's true. I do forget those things. Our phone number here at Power Prophecy, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Standard Time, is toll-free 1-800-234-9673. Hey, if you got the name, forgot the name of the book, just ask for the star book, six-pointed star book. And we'll get it winging to you, okay? You're not going to be disappointed. It's 432 pages. It's a big book. It's about the size of three or four regular books. That's why it costs a little much. It costs a mint just to print the big thing, like an encyclopedia. But we just put a lot of info in it. We don't want one of these little pocket books, you know. It's like five pockets. But anyway, it's a big book. A lot of wonderful information and documentation, most of all. Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. Our address to order the book is Power of Prophecy, or Tex Mars, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. And again, I want to tell you how much we appreciate your love gifts, offerings to this ministry. Without them, well, we wouldn't be here. We would not be here. So I thank God that he has led you to help us to continue our mission of truth-telling throughout this world. Okay, back again, looking at anti-Semites. You know, Marlon Brando gave an interview on the Larry King show on CNN. Larry King, of course, is Jewish. But Marlon Brando said that Jews don't care about anybody but themselves. And Marlon Brando said that, you know, you don't see any movies negative to Jews. That's because Jews run Hollywood. Well, the man was attacked bitterly by Jewish producers and directors of Hollywood. And within a few days, he was reduced to tears. He came back out, I'm so sorry I said it. I apologize. I guess they told him that he'd never get another movie contract. I don't know why he cared. The guy was a multimillionaire many times over. This was in the last several years of his life. But even then, even as an old man, Marlon Brando was frightened to death of the Jews. He had the courage to expose them, but then he had to come back and apologize. Billy Graham, sort of happened to him too. For years, he avoided going head-to-head with the Jews. In fact, he was so fearful of the Jews, the evangelist Billy Graham, that he once told Golda Meir, the prime minister of Israel, that he promised he would never have a Billy Graham crusade in the nation of Israel. He went to all kinds of nations, Australia, Great Britain, Ireland, giving crusades. But he said, no, I won't do that in Israel. He promised the Jews he wouldn't do it. He said, because after all, God has already blessed the Jews. So I don't need to go there. Really? Blessed the Jews? Can you be blessed by God and headed for hell because you've rejected Jesus? Of course, that was just a sham. It was because he was afraid of the Jews that he wouldn't go there to preach to them. But he knew what really was going on. I think the man probably looked in the mirror and hated himself a little bit for being a coward. So he acted like a big shot when he got with Richard Nixon, the president. They were fast pals, big buddies. And visiting with Nixon at the White House, Billy Graham talked all about the Jews. Their whole conversation was about Jews. And Billy Graham said to Richard Nixon, the president in the Oval Office, he said, you know, the Jews think that I like them. that I'm their friend. They think that I'm their friend. And Nixon, you know, he was a little bit duplicitous and devious himself. He says, oh, yes, well, you've got to keep them thinking that, but don't let them know what you really think. Billy Graham said, oh, I won't. Don't worry. But, you know, he said there are these evil Jews out there. They're the ones behind all the pornography and the sex and the smut in magazines and so forth. The Bible speaks of those Jews. They're the synagogue of Satan. They're the ones destroying America. They're strangling America, he told the president. But he said, Mr. President, if you're elected to another term in office, maybe you can do something about this. And Richard Nixon said, well, I intend to. I intend to do something about it once I'm reelected. Because he knew they control the electoral process. They have the money, the media, et cetera, the power. But once he got his second term, you can only be president for two terms, and he could be unfettered. He could go forth and expose the Jews. That's what Richard Nixon was thinking about. Billy Graham said, they've got a stranglehold on America. And he said, Mr. President, if that stranglehold is not broken, this nation is going down the drain. Now, some of you out there may be saying, Tex, where did you get that? Billy Graham loved Israel. He was a Zionist. He loved the Jews. He would never say such a thing. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, friends, what you might do is get the tape that we've done here in the ministry, a very special report that I did about this very thing. It's entitled, This Stranglehold Has Got to Be Broken or This Country Is Going Down the Drain. And you'll hear, we're going to send you, in addition to my 60-minute special expose report on tape or CD, your choice, we're going to send you another extra, a bonus CD or audio tape. It's about 20 minutes long, and on it, you'll actually hear the words, their own voices, Billy Graham and Richard Nixon discussing these things at the White House. Now, it was many years later that the White House tapes were released by the National Archives. And that's when people discovered, some 29 years later, what Billy Graham had said about the Jews and what he and Nixon had concluded. And when it came out, it must have frightened the, I think this is a good word because it has the devil in it, the Bedickens. You know, Dickens is another name, a synonym for the devil. It frightened the Bedickens out of Billy Graham. Actually, it may have frightened the Bedickens into him, but that's another story. And when all the press went to Billy Graham and said, did you say these things? Are you really an anti-Semite? Billy Graham stuttered and stammered and said, well, I apparently did, but I can't remember it. It's certainly not what I really think about the Jews. And I'm so sorry this tape came out. Billy Graham told Newsweek that after the tapes came out, that he went to a meeting of the most powerful Jews in America. Oh, yeah. They know when they meet. And he told these powerful Jews, he said, that he was sorry for what he had said privately to President Nixon in the Oval Office. And Graham said to the Jews, to these Jewish poobahs, the big shots, if you want me to, I'll get on my knees and crawl across this room to you and beg you for forgiveness. I'll get on my knees and beg you for forgiveness. That's how fearful he was of the Jews. They had found out what he really thought about them. And man, was he ever frightened. Now his ministry has made Billy Graham a millionaire. You can say what you want to. They say, no, he's a very modest man. Oh, shut up. He's a millionaire many times over. All of his books are ghost written for him. He doesn't even write his own books, and he gets off to keep all the royalties for the books. Made him millions. You see, Billy Graham owns a big fancy luxurious condo in Tokyo, Japan. He owns another big fancy luxury condominium in Mexico City. And then he owns his modest little house up in the mountains there of North Carolina, wherever it is. See, you think that's where he lives, but he's living in luxury condos in Mexico City and Tokyo. And who knows where else the man owns fancy digs. The world's not what you think it is, my friends. Now, I don't mind a man living fancy and luxurious, but I'd like him to put on a little courage and spunk. I'd like him to have a backbone of titanium rather than sponge jelly. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you like to have some heroes in America that have titanium-based spines and refuse to cave in and bend and bow and beg and cry and moan and woan and... I think I just made that word up, woan. Sort of a combination of, you know, well, anyway. Of course, President Nixon was punished for what he had done. I think those White House tapes got out a lot sooner. They knew he was going to be after them. And they knew that if Richard Nixon got his little mitts on certain kinds of evidence that were in the National Archives, the Jews of America would be destroyed. Now, on my Intelligence Examiner special report about the stranglehold, I'm going to tell you exactly what Nixon knew that if he had released it to the public, would have destroyed the nation of Israel forever as far as Americans are concerned. And I think every Jew in America would be on a blacklist, because once you know what the Jews did to this country, the horror thing, the horrible thing they did, you'd never trust a Jew again, believe me. But anyway, let's go on back now. So that was Marlon Brando, Richard Nixon, Billy Graham. Then there was old Dolly Parton. Yes, Dolly Parton, the country and western singer. She was interviewed too. And I think it was by Larry King. He loved to put those Christians and others on the spot. He was usually mild-mannered, but he loved that. And he asked Dolly Parton, why didn't she ever do a sitcom on one of the network TV shows, CBS, ABC, NBC, and so forth. She said, well, you know, I had an idea one time for a situation comedy that I would star in. And it would be about the life of a gospel singer, but it would be sort of comical and funny. She says, but I knew that Hollywood would not allow it to be broadcast. They don't want any shows favorable to Christian gospel music. They didn't want a show. They didn't want a situation comedy where I played a gospel singer, because that would make Christianity look too good. Well, the next day, Abraham Fox and all the Jews, the hounds were out. Their fangs were bared. They were about, "Wah! How dare you say?" Now, no one ever said what she said was untrue. It's just, you're not supposed to say that. So Dolly, almost like Marlon Brando, comes out to all the bright microphones a few days later and said, "I'm so sorry I said it. I apologize to the Jews." Apologize for telling the truth. Now, then there's Michael Jackson. Now, Michael Jackson said that the Jews controlled him and stole his money. He was virtually bankrupt when he died, but the Jews had their fingers on all of his money. And he got mad at it, and he actually made a song in one of his later albums. And it was entitled "Jew Me." Jew me, meaning cheat me. Jew me. Well, the album had just come out and the Jews were furious about it. So naturally, the same thing happened. Michael Jackson came out and apologized, said it's all a mistake, and they took that album off the market, took that song off, and redistributed it again without that song, "Jew Me." But just the fact that he did that let Jews know he's a man to be watched. He's an anti-Semite. Marlon Brando, anti-Semite. Dolly Parton, anti-Semite. Harry Truman did whatever the Jews wanted. Whatever the Jews wanted, President Harry Truman did. Even made Israel a nation in 48. But then he was writing his memoirs and he wrote in his diary about how wicked the Jews really are behind the scenes. He said the Jews don't care for anybody but themselves. They don't care about the people of other nations. They only care about the Jews. They're greedy. They're selfish. Can't say that. You know, it just never made his memoirs. But he had written it. Many years later, they say a caretaker at the presidential library in Independence, Missouri, where they had recreated inside as a museum, an Oval Office just exactly like the one that Harry Truman has president. And he had a file cabinet in there. And behind the file cabinet, they found pages crumpled up from Truman's old diary. It was those pages where he talked about the Jews. And then, boy, they came out. The hounds of the Baskervilles came out again. And to this day, no matter what all the good things that he did for the Jews, even made Israel a modern nation again, the Jews will tell you today, Harry Truman was a vicious devil and an anti-Semite. Jimmy Carter, of course, sought to bring peace in the Middle East. He brought the Prime Minister of Israel, Menachem Begin, and the head of the Palestinian political group, the PLO, Yasser Arafat, together at Camp David and said, can't we get along? Sort of like, you know, Rodney King, I guess. Now, I'm just overstating it. But basically, that was it. Can't we just get along? You know, I'm a Christian. You're a Jew. You're a Muslim. Why can't we make peace in the Middle East? Well, the reason he found out was because the Israelites did not want to make peace. The Jews didn't want to make peace because they want to keep gobbling up the land, not only of the Palestinians, but all of the whole Middle East. And Jimmy Carter exposed that in his books after he left the presidency. There's no peace in the Middle East because the Jews never wanted it. They wanted to make their country an apartheid country. Anti-Semite. Jimmy Carter is known. I was listening to Fox News and they had a bunch of, everybody on Fox News goes around saying, Jimmy Carter is a horrible man. He's an anti-Semite. Oh yeah. There was Senator Joseph McCarthy. He exposed communists in government. He never really talked about Jews, but they hated him anyway. They called him an anti-Semite. Why would they do that? Just because he warned about communist bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. that were doing evil things behind the scenes. Why would the Jews of America get mad at McCarthy and call him an anti-Semite for that? Aha. Uh-huh. It just so happens that all the communists in government were Jews. Just like most of the communists in the Soviet Union murdering Christians and others were Jews. After all, the father of communism was Karl Marx, a Jew. And that's why Senator Joseph McCarthy was blasted as an anti-Semite, because he exposed communists, because Jews are communist. I was watching TV a few years ago. The former Marine Commandant, General Anthony Zinni, was on. He was on with the well-known, famous novelist who writes a lot of books about military warfare, naval warfare. His name is Tom Clancy. I think his most famous book, The Hunt for the Red October, something like that. Tom Clancy. By the way, that book was originally published by a little bitty publisher called the U.S. Naval Institute Press. They published like two books a year. They had never published a novel before, but they published Tom Clancy's. And you know what? It caught on and became a big international bestseller. But Clancy and Zinni were on I think it was CNN or Fox News, one or the other. And they were talking about how the neoconservatives, the neocons and the Bush administration were behind all the wars that were being fought in the Middle East, the neocons. Well, no sooner had they left the studio practically than I began to read on the internet all these accusations against General Zinni, former head of the Marines, and Tom Clancy, one of our most famous novelists. They're anti-Semites. Everybody knows that neocons is a code word for Jews, said the commentators. So when they talk about how evil the neocons are, they're really talking about how evil the Jews are. They're anti-Semites. Well, that was interesting, wasn't it? Just like the ones who complained about McCarthy saying, when he points a finger at the commies, he's pointing at the Jews. Ah, that told you something. And now, when they say, well, Zinni and Clancy are pointing a finger at the neocons. They're anti-Semite. Because neocons are Jews. Of course. Now, I could go on and on with this. Congressman James Traficant. He went to a bat for one of his constituents from Ohio named Demyanyuk. John Demyanyuk. Hope I got that name right. Demyanyuk. That's a toughie. Was a man who had been accused of being a guard at a German Nazi concentration camp. They said Demyanyuk was not his real name. His real name was Ivan the Terrible. And he just killed so many Jews. He was an evil Nazi guard. Did you know that Demyanyuk, the U.S. government approved for him to be arrested? He had been living in the United States for, 50 years or so, raised a family here, good citizen, hard worker. They allowed him to be deported, sent back, not back, he'd never been there, to Israel, a country where he had never been. He was put on trial for being Ivan the Terrible. But then guess what? The Iron Curtain of Russia fell. Turned out that he was not Ivan the Terrible after all. The Russians had all, the KGB had all the information, the dossier on him. He wasn't Ivan the Terrible after all. Even the Israeli judge agreed and released him. And he came back to America. The man who found the evidence to exonerate Demyanyuk was Congressman James Traficant. The Jews hated him. Even though he had helped free an innocent man, Mr. Demyanyuk, the Jews vowed to get Congressman Traficant. You know what they did? A few years later, he was brought up on trumped-up charges, and he ended up spending a few years in prison in the United States, a U.S. congressman. Folks, it goes on and on, the anti-Semites I admire. There's John F. Kennedy, General Grant, Bobby Kennedy, Winston Churchill, General William T. Sherman, General George Patton. Wow. The names go on and on. And then, of course, there's a man who lives in Austin, Texas, who loves Jesus. Yes, who loves all these men. He's an anti-Semite too. He admits it. His name, Tex Mars. Been a great being with you today. Thank you for having the courage and the bravery to keep listening every week to this radio program. And we're going to be right here until, Jesus takes Tex Mars home, or he takes us all home. And that could happen any day. I pray that it will. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. And until he does come, tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.